Hi, the name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. In this episode, I chat again with the incredibly intelligent and lovely lady Michelle Sheen of Instinctive Living and Content College. In this first episode of our series entitled Disentangling Me, a podcast series exploring our true essence and how to live a life of inner peace and fulfillment. Hello, Michelle Sheen, the lovely lady that is Michelle. How are you?
I'm okay, Mr. Neubronner. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I've had coffee, so there might be some coughing and spluttering. It depends how much I say, isn't it? I've been sitting here contemplating, and I thought, how might I start this podcast this morning, which is probably leading to the afternoon, no doubt, because we talk for so long. And I thought I might go back to Nancy Klein's Time to Think and simply ask you, Michelle, what are you thinking about and what are your thoughts? Yeah, about life, about the bigger picture.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Yeah, it's yes or no. It's black or white. It's that you're happy or sad, but you're not. It's that continuum, isn't it? Maybe you can laugh when you're sad. You can. You can have a social mask. You have to have darkness to have light. I was listening to a talk on a thing the other day about the yin and yang, the two fish. The awareness comes when you realize that they're both there. They're not either or either. You need the darkness to see the light. Sometimes the darkness goes a little bit deep, and I wouldn't recommend going down that rabbit hole for, you know, always. Maybe some of us need to do it.
I think everybody does, Michelle, but people are not aware that they are being it or in it. So, for example, I have said I have, to all intents and purposes, I'm not suggesting I've experienced exactly the same as you. How I understand what you've said, I've experienced similar this year, for a lot of this year. But I only know that because I'm aware of the yin and the yang. I'm aware of the two fish. I'm aware of the two dimensions. When I mean awareness, I don't just mean the ability to see the light and the dark. What I'm talking about is a consciousness of that there is light and dark. There is suffering, if you want to call it that, if I may call it that. But that suffering isn't me. That suffering doesn't sum me up. Those thoughts, those feelings, those experiences are not me. I'm separate from those. I can say that with a degree of conviction because I have experienced the separateness of me from the suffering. I've experienced me having full presence, the essence of me, which is completely and utterly separate from the thoughts, the feelings, and the experiences around me. If I'm not aware, so if I don't see the two fishes, let's say, it's the bear in the woods thingy story, whatever that is.
Yeah, there's a dream.
No, not the bear shits in the woods. Not about that. There's a bear shit in the woods. It's not that one. It's the
tree falling.
It's the tree falling in the woods, right? It's not about the bear shitting in the woods. If I'm not aware, I don't experience the yin and the yang as they are. I don't. And that's probably the wrong choice of language there. I don't think it's I don't experience the yin and the yang. I just don't see me experiencing the yin and the yang. I experience that dark and light, but I don't see it.
So how do you perceive, like, I'm trying to understand how you wouldn't, I mean, I know what you're saying. I know that
whoever goes through life, I can't use any other phrase other than his phrase, Eckhart Tolle, going through life focused on form, on stuff. And it comes back to that, all the things that I should, shouldn't have, or will have. I'm focused on having all of that stuff. So I don't see
the separateness of me from
the light and dark. I see what I want to see. And all I want to see is stuff of form, which is about achievement, success. It's even when having conversations with your children, those conversations are all about brush your teeth, get into bed, do your homework, get dressed. It's about a list of things then. And people will say, those list of things are very important to me. They are, because that's all they see.
Like, then there's no connection. It's superficial. It's on the...
Which bit?
The form. Where's the connection? Where's the... If you're just following these things, then you're never connecting with yourself or your child, for example, in that example. Because it's like, okay, you have to do these things. When you get up, you have to get dressed, and then you have to make your bed, and then da-da-da-da-da-da. But where's that person that's in there?
That's the point. They are unable to see. When we see our true nature, when we're able to truly see that, then there is connection. Then there is presence, to echo Tony's point. When what we see is, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and he's going to have this, and he's going to have that, and William's going to do this, and William's got to do that. And I can see it in myself when I do it.
Mm.
I was thinking about it whilst thinking about you, because Tolly started talking about parenthood. And then I reflected on yesterday evening, and it was, do this, do that, do this, do that.
Which is what we do in life.
Some people don't understand the meaning maybe that I have between the difference between being and doing. Being doesn't mean you're lying on the couch. It means that you are not connected maybe to the outcome of the doing. So you can be doing while being, but you're not measuring your success on whether you're doing it right or well enough, or, you know, the outcome of, but it's, you are submerged or emerged within the process of what you are doing, which is connecting, which is understanding and connection.
Which comes back to what we've talked about at length, intent.
Mm, yeah.
And being present, as Eckhart Tolle suggests, living in the now.
My difficulty comes with translating being in that example into a bigger picture thing, into a my whole life thing, into the choices that I make or the living that I live. And because of that, I go back into form mode and focus on doing. But I've noticed perhaps my visual mechanism to help me see that I am being is sometimes sitting on the couch and just being present.
Because when I do that, I'm able to connect to that separateness. I'm able to connect to the space in between the, what did I call it, the trauma, the space in between the thoughts, the feelings, and the experience. I guess it's my training ground. It's my training ground for being, or it's one of my training grounds for learning how to be. In other words, reconnecting to that separateness, reconnecting to that presence that's within.
Mm, yeah. But I think they're not exclusive. So you don't just have to be, or just have to do, or just have, you know, it's not if you do or be or whatever, then it means you can't. Mm. There is a place for time.
Mm.
But as our man Eckhart says, there's different modalities or different things, shapes that time has. But in essence, it's all made up, isn't it? Because apparently we can move it around also. Even in our linear world, we can move it an hour forward or backwards, and that seems to be fine.
Hmm.
But like when you're depressed, I've been like since I was quite young, I've gone through, but there's also a point in that darkness where you know you now have to do, even if you don't want to, for its survival mechanism. Because if you stay in it now, then they might, you know, it might, you might not. So then you kind of have to just put the darkness and just, you know, kind of go through the motions a little bit to show yourself that you are still part of this world in a way.
Hmm.
If that makes sense. It sounds very dramatic, but.
And I could argue, and I don't know how strongly, but I could argue in that moment, therefore you are being, even with that doing.
Exactly, exactly what I'm trying to convey, but words are so bloody frustrating. It is in a way, but it has an action. So being isn't necessarily being inactive, being not doing. Being can be quite an active thing, but it's not, I'm not doing it to
get a particular result.
Yeah.
Albeit that it is a form construct acting, I liken it to my theatre training. The form is the character. The being it is dealing with the emotion, saying the words. So the saying the words is the doing that are related to the character on the page. An intent behind that is the being. And together,
they form presence, which is what the audience experiences.
Because that's what we understand, though. Our brains are also a bit limited, aren't they? So, because there's the different angles that we understand or look at things. So our physical form, analytical mind has to have something to hold on to for us to construct it into a thing. So that's that side. But there's also all the other sides. And I think that's where the confusion comes in, that like you have to choose, but it's not a choosing between. It's just a kind of, where do we start? Start with being, but that leads to the doing.
So is it where I start? I'm just reflecting on that point. Is the deciding factor, is the discerning point where I start?
But in effect, there is no start, you know, as you say, it is just a cycle. But once again, we are conditioned to, it's linear. So we have to have a starting and an ending point. And that's where I have quite an issue. But for example, if you tell a story, if I tell you something from my world, my life, my whatever, I'm so conscious of me in evoking a pity party, because that, you know, because we've also been so shaped around this hero's journey kind of storytelling mechanism where we watch whatever, America's Got Talent, and this girl came from sleeping in a car and she's made it to the big stage. And now, you know, then she's going to arrive. And that's the line. The storyline is now complete. But it isn't complete because she still is existing. And she still is a person that has to deal with life, isn't it? It's not, you know what I mean? It's so one-dimensional in a way. So at the end, when we're not maybe in that one-dimensional thing, then it becomes difficult to find your place in it.
Yes, I can see how then my story that has an emotion in it, it has form in it, it has trauma in it, like the X Factor girl or boy, their story has a trauma in it, which brings them to this point and they're therefore incredible. But my story or their story is only a snippet in time. And that's what we as human beings seem to focus on. We digest our lives in bite-sized chunks because we are fearful of embracing the whole of us. We're fearful of embracing all of us, our whole lives. On another note, the fear point, that's exacerbated by our society. We want bite-sized chunks of everything, because when we take on those bite-sized chunks, when we digest those bite-sized chunks, we become even more fearful because they're not the whole of us, they're only parts of us. And so we latch on to those little bits, those little bite-sized chunks, to make ourselves feel better. Instead of letting those go because they are traumatic or they are just emotion and feeling and experience, and just totally being the space between it all.
What's the point? Because it's all...
But the desire to find one's place in itself is of form and ego, isn't it? It is the absence of acceptance.
But the unknown is so amazing. I much prefer the unknown because it's got possibilities in it. I swear, there's a part of me that dies if I have to follow a schedule every day because I know what's going to come. And it's just, for me, I'm not saying everybody has to be like me, though. That's the point, isn't it? But the thing is that there is a collective subconscious. I think we all not fit in, but we all have a place within that. We feed off each other. What we don't, I think, and that's the thing. It's like the world that we've grown accustomed to, there's a lack of connection because I want to be right. You know, I think this way, and I will give you the guidelines, and then if you follow these guidelines, then you will be like me, and then we will all be happy. There is a place for form because we still need to get the kids to school and help them with their reading or whatever it is.
Yes, but if we approach form in a fully present way, in other words, if we approach the things that we do every day by living in the now, not by looking to the future or looking back in the past. If we approach our form elements of life, the things that we do, then we will recognize our true nature, presence.
Jung says it's what we resist persists. So when we don't overcome that lesson or that thing or whatever it is that is creating a stumbling block, we're just going to come around to it again until we kind of find our way around it, and then maybe we can go up to like a different vibration circle thing, you know, and so we evolve. But for me, it's so difficult to just go, oh yeah, okay, let's just do all the stuff that needs to be done and then everything will be fine. I know there's a place for that.
Mm. Coming back to that darkness point and the light and the dark, the yin and yang thereof, because of that, that darkness has stopped me doing a lot of things and held me back this year. And I also think has curtailed the being, let's say. And one of the things I see having happened as a consequence is this resistance to fun and enjoyment. Like there's this desire to take things a bit more seriously. And I've been asked by Williams School to go in and do some workshops around public speaking. So I was like, oh yeah! And for the last year and a half, if anybody asked me to come and do something like that, I've never wanted to. I've even shut myself off from it completely and saying, no, I don't do that stuff anymore. But the difference is here, is I'm going to go and do it with years 5 and 6. So the manner with which I do it, the manner with which I show up, my intention and how I be in that moment will not be anything that I've experienced in the last 2 years. It'll be going back to what we know to be true of ourselves is that inner child, that playful, fun-loving, in the moment,
Lack of judgment,
lack of non-acceptance, and just being. And I take a form approach to this in as much as I feel like it may be a catalyst for me, a catalyst for change in terms of how I see myself and how I be.
Because you feel it, don't you?
Mm.
It's not a head thing. It's like an exciting thing.
There's been no trepidation. Mm. There's been no, what if, or better plan this out. I better There's been none of that. What I've done is had a conversation with the head, and the head has asked me for a framework, and I wrote 9 sentences and sent it to her. That's it. I'm going to go in there and do it, be it with them. And that is a telltale sign, in my opinion, of it being something that is not of form, but within form.
I mean, we are of form, aren't we? We are in form in these bodies that we are inhabiting at this moment in a physical world. As Einstein says, reality is an illusion, albeit a persistent one. It's there, but there's more for me. And that's the stuff that's more. It's that, you know, that excitement that should be what it all should be about.
But that comes back to, for me, in the work that I do with adults, step 4 in the process is singing your song, I call it, and being in a state of flow. That's what that is.
It comes naturally, though.
There isn't a need to prove or justify or judge or assess or anything like that. It just is a state of flow.
I have to share this with you. There's such a beautiful piece in this book.
Okay.
I return now to the discovery I made in the course of associating with my rustic schoolmates. I found that they alienated me from myself.
That was Carl Jung, right?
Yeah, because he felt like he had to fit in with them, obviously.
Life has alienated me from myself.
Yeah, and it's about coming back to yourself without the noise. There's so much noise about, oh, you have to do this, and then you have to do that, and then these are the steps and the structure, and if you like this, then you must, you know, and it's like, oh my word, I don't fit into the box, or none of us fit into just one box, I'm convinced. So now, why must my steps necessarily help you, but my listening surely does? If you have that kind of situation where we listen to each other, my talking gives me a different perspective on my thoughts. So often, I come up with my own solutions because we have all the knowledge already, don't we?
Of course.
But projecting it in this way, where you listen to me or I listen to you or whatever the situation is, even when I'm talking, I'm listening to my own solutions from a different perspective, which is quite powerful, I think.
Which is very powerful, which we know is powerful, but we don't really listen to that power.
Because there's no time. There's no time to do that. We need to find the shortcuts. And I find it quite a lot these days when I watch and observe and see what people are doing. There's a content overload. So our working memories can only kind of do so much in a and over the past 2 years we've been inundated with all kinds of stuff, messaging, fear, blah, blah, blah. We call it overload or overwhelm or whatever it is, but it's just, there's a cognitive overload. So what do we do from an analytical perspective? We create shortcuts. So we pick certain things out of our engagements and then we create little folders for them. So you say something and then I go, okay, you like that. But I haven't really listened. And often just sitting in silence with someone is so powerful.
Very much so.
Yeah. Which I think is quite...
So hence sitting in silence with oneself is equally powerful.
Yeah.
But we don't, because we must get on and do the form.
Yeah.
So I come back to the point about sitting on the couch thing. If one sits on the couch in silence, one's not being passive, one's being quite active. If one sits on the couch in silence, if we're saying that silence is as powerful in the form of listening.
Yeah, that's not the only part of being. That is a very important part of being.
I'm going to go and have my potato, which is my lunch. I've really enjoyed talking to you, Michelle. From a form perspective, I hope that our little conversation has moved your yin and yang a little bit, even if it were just for this period of time.
It has. Thank you.
Oh, Michelle, this has been great. Thank you so much again. I really love talking to you.
Thanks.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Me too.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dion.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.